All right. Along the lines of the last few weeks, a few weeks ago, we started a little series of talking about some difficult scriptures and some things that would happen. We talked about becoming a new creature, okay? Becoming a new creature. What that meant and how, to me, that was a verse that I struggled with. And still struggle with at times because, not because it's hard to understand what it says, but because it's difficult for me to live that out, okay? Becoming a new creature, it's difficult for me. But when you become a new creature, at the last couple of weeks, Jacob's looked at a couple of different scenarios. We're going to look at another scenario tonight of what it means to become a new creature, all right? One specific scenario, and there's a scenario that comes about with this word, hate. Okay? Hate. If you're going to live in this world in any way, any shape or form, you will stand for something. Just by the nature of you being a human. Right? You're going to stand for something. Good or bad, lazy or hardworking, whatever it is, you're going to stand for something. Okay? And if you want to be something good and do something good, if you want to become like God, all right, you want to become, I'm missing a lot of letters tonight, like God, then people will hate you. That's a biblical truth. It's a strange thing, but people will hate you. It was back several years ago that I was a kind of a group leader, a supervisor type person, all right? And I had worked in my own group for several years. And a last minute opportunity came up. Somebody actually came and said to me, "I think you should put in for this other position." I said, "I don't really want to go to this other position. In fact, I wanted to leave altogether. The whole place where I was working. I was trying to get in somewhere and become a teacher. I wanted to become a college professor. And I thought I was going to be right there. I was going to be ready to do it. I knew the guy who was running the team to hire the college professor. It was a physics professor. Okay? And it would have been great. I thought, this is great. My degree, I've got just what I need. I was finishing up my master's degree, and I literally had 5 weeks left to do it. And it was all, my grades were basically done, and I was going to be out, I was going to finish. Okay? And when I put my name in and did everything and talked to this guy who was running this hiring crew, and he said, "Yep, looks good, really glad, give me this, give me that." And when he finally sat down and read my resume, he said, "Oh, you have 5 weeks left to get your master's degree. We have everybody else, we have a crew of people that already have their master's degree." So just like that, it was out. I was done. That track, the door shut, slammed right in my face. God says, "Nope, you're not doing it." So that afternoon, I went to talk to this other person who had said, "Come on over and you'll get a job in this other crew. You should try for it." I went, I made a phone call, and I went to lunch with the person who was the assistant director who was running the crew. And she asked me a bunch of questions, and I asked her a bunch of questions. And the next day, I walked by her boss, and her boss says, "Oh, you're hired in the position." I said, "What? I didn't even say yes or no or anything. I didn't even know I was asked to do it." So I ended up moving into this other position. I was an outsider. I was not from that crew. I had little experience in managing the things that I was going to manage. Okay? The systems that I was going to manage. But there ended up being two people, and I didn't know this till later, two people that really, really hated that I came over there. One person that worked for me, and one person that was my customer in another area. They hated that I was there. And they hated me, personally. It was a very strange feeling, and I've never had somebody hate me so much as that. But as soon as I would walk out of the room, they'd be very nice to my face. But as soon as I'd walk out of the room, they would say terrible things about me. One of them sent letters to my boss and my boss's boss to try to get me terminated. Sent letters to have my group disbanded. Over the years, did really, really nasty things. Everything he could do to try and sabotage me. He just hated me. I never did anything to him. Another guy that worked directly for me, he struggled greatly because he thought he was going to get the job that I ended up getting. And he was very hateful. And we worked together for about 8 years. And each and every year it seemed to get more and more intense as time went on. He really, really despised me. And it feels very lonely to be hated by somebody. I never really had somebody outright just despise me. Maybe they don't like me a lot. Maybe they don't like what I like or want to do what I do. Or they're not my best friend or whatever. But to have somebody actually literally just despise you, it's a lonely feeling. You feel like there's nothing that you can do at all to fix this. All right, it's a very empty and hollow feeling. And you can have a lot of other friends, but when you have people that actually hate you, it's difficult to deal with. Well, if we turn to John chapter 15, this is what Jesus talks about. In John 15, verse 18. Savannah, you want to do 18, 19, and 20? We're doing it backwards now. See? Oh, yeah. Chapter 15 of the book of John, verse number 18.
Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also.
Okay, so this is a very simple fact as a Christian. If you believe in Christ, if you believe in God, there is a great separation. People that believe in God and people that don't. Believe in God and people that don't. And the people that believe in God are picked by God, which is a strange thing to think about. All right? How can that be? Well, you've got to get into the whole very cerebral thought of, well, God knows everything from the beginning and the ending. He knows how it's all going to work out. So how can he really pick? Well, I don't know how that all works out. But God knows who you are. before you were ever born, before he ever created the world. He understands you, your personality, your makeup, who your mom and dad would be, who your great-great-great-great-great-grandpa and grandma would be. He knows that. Okay, and he knew that all along. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows your mind and the decision that you will make in your life. Okay? And if you make a decision in your life to believe in God, whether in the beginning, the middle, or the end of your life, God knows all of those things. In that day where you say, I'm going to believe in God, whether it's internal, whether it's external, how that happens in the beginning, whether it's a slow revelation or a great big slap on your face to say, what are you doing? Wake up. Okay? Every human seems to have a different pathway that they get there. All right? And I don't mean different in that they have other things they believe in, but a different pathway where they find out who God really is. Okay? Everybody has some opportunity in their life. Some opportunity. Some very small. Some lots and lots of opportunity. Okay? But either way, there's a great separation that happens once you believe in God. Once you decide, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to believe who Christ is. I want forgiveness in my life. I want to see what the love of God is all about. It will put you in a category where you become an outsider to the world. For those people who don't believe, okay? That great big separation, all of a sudden, they're all part of the world, right? The normal world. Ooh, right over the thing where I should have. Here's my little. Something like that. Okay? And don't forget, Hawaii. Okay, right? So, the world has a system that, the way that it thinks, right? The way that it thinks comes from what? What is the way the world thinks come from?
Self.
Okay. Self. What else? What about yourself?
What I want.
What's what I want?
What I need.
What do you know when you're born?
Nothing.
Not quite true.
Very little.
What don't you have to be taught how to do?
Sin.
To do wrong.
Oh.
Well, you're not taught how to breathe. Okay, also. But as natural as you breathe, you think self. Right? About me. About sin. It's as natural because it is your nature. It is my nature. When we're born in this world. And so we start out with this world view where everything's about me. And I don't believe in anything else as important as myself. And we can be very subtle about it sometimes, or we can be very brash and bold about it sometimes. Everybody's a little different. But in the end, you will find that there are a lot of people that just go for themselves. This is what I want. Okay. You got a lot of politicians in the world that are not out there to help us. Right? A lot of politicians in our country are there for the money, for the power. Oh, but I'm a public servant. Really? So you do everything, would you do it for free? Well, no, not really for free, you know. So The world is set up with this self-thinking way, a selfishness, a self-righteousness, okay? So I think I'm okay. I'm the best.
Yeah.
Okay? Just like the Brothers Grimm there. I'm the best, okay? And that's how they think. So when you go and you accept God and you say, you know what? Maybe I found out that I'm not really the best. I found out that my sinful nature isn't so good. I don't like it. I'm not happy with who I am. I want to know more about God. All of a sudden that puts you in a category where you're an outsider to them. If everybody in the pool, you've seen those things where they got all the fish swimming, right, this way, and then there's one little fish going this way, backwards. If everybody in the pool is swimming one way, and you're swimming the other way, how does that make you feel? Hard? It's challenging. You're swimming upstream. These are all big, mean fish, right? But that's where you put yourself when God stepped into your life in a different place. And I don't mean to say this to say, whoa, I better give this thing up then. I mean to say it so you understand that there will be a great separation. And your generation, I think, is growing up, and I don't think it, I know it, is growing up in a world that I think is much more difficult even than my generation to grow up in. Mine's not that far behind, you know, so okay? All right? I'm not that much older than you guys, but it's a much more difficult situation. The basic beliefs and tenets and respect that came from having a nation built under God, all right, that laws were set in place saying we won't do this as a people, we will stand for what is right, we will stand for that, those lines are being erased one by one by one. So you will stand and swim on your own much more than the generations before you. Much more. All right? And I think it's difficult to understand that, but you have to understand where you stand in this whole thing. You are the fish that's going to swim against the current. And God will be with you, but there will be hatred. Now, think about what he said. He said in there, you will be hated because I have been hated. All right? Jesus came. And what did Jesus do for people? When he was on earth, what did he do?
He lived and died for them.
Okay, he lived and died for them. He healed people. He helped people. He gave to people. He encouraged people. He loved people. Pretty terrible stuff. And what did they do back to him? Killed him, spit on him, they pulled out his hair, they despised him for being who he was. They despised him. When he walked into the temple, every religious leader hated him. So much so that they made a pact to not eat or drink until he was dead. All right? They hated him, and that will transfer to people that follow him. All right? It's a hard thing to think about, and this is why I wanted to talk about it a little bit. When you become a new creature, you have something happen to you like that. All right? You join a different category. Verse number 21 of John 15, "But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." All right? They do not know God. And that's why they hate people that know God. Seems strange. Seems like, hey, I'm just living my life. Can't you just leave me alone? But it won't be that way. There will be battles. You will live through more and more battles for abortion and rights that are out there that aren't real rights. Okay? A lot of different things. But what are you called to do? Well, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But let's go to verse number 22 and see a little bit, why do they really hate? Verse 22, wherever we left off.
If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no hope for their sin.
All right, and verse 23 also, please.
He that hateth me hateth my Father also.
All right, so what Jesus said is, because I came and I showed people how I lived, because I showed them what was right to do, they hated the fact that they were exposed. They hated the fact that they were exposed. My wife and I went down on an anniversary trip. We went down to a big cave in Kentucky. In fact, I think it's the biggest in the world, Mammoth Cave. All right? And it was a great thing. If you ever want to go to Mammoth Cave, go in the beginning or like the middle of December because no one's there. It's great. If you don't want to be around people, it's a great time. I went on my birthday in December and we walked up and the tour guide said, everybody line up for the tour. It was me and my wife. That was it. We got on the great big bus that's normally packed to the hilt. We went off to the cave, he unlocked it, and he gave us a personal tour and walked us through Mammoth Caves. And just like he did on all other tours, he shut the lights off. And I don't know if you've ever been in a cave when they shut the lights off. You cannot see a thing. And I mean, you think you are going to look at your hand, and you put your hand right here, keep trying to move it and see if you can see something because you're like, my eyes will adjust, but there's zero light. And I mean zero light. Your eyes have nothing to adjust to. There is no light that can help you to see your hand. Until he clicks a little tiny light or a little tiny pen light and all of a sudden you can see things even with a tiny speck of light. You can see things around you. Now, it's not bright all the way around you. But then after he turned the lights back on, he took us to places that he normally didn't take people, at least for the past 20 years, because the tours were too big. He couldn't fit all the people. We walked up these side pathways. We looked where they used to give tours back in the 1800s. He turned the light on, and way down in a hole, they used to climb down a ladder and get on a boat. And the wooden ladder's still there, and pieces of the boat that were way down in the cave, you could see, where they used to give lantern tours way down in this cave many, many years ago. We got to see things because he turned the light on. Things that no people would walk right by. They'd walk by that old place and never know, because no one ever told them, and no one ever showed them. But when Jesus came to earth, you think about it, that's how everybody lived. In total darkness, not knowing what anything was, couldn't see themselves, couldn't see those places. But Jesus came and says, look what this is. Do you see yourself now? Because he brought light into the world. And so when he exposed people, they looked and said, whoa, I'm ugly, I don't like that. He's bad, get rid of him. We don't like the way he makes us feel. All right, and that's why people hate it. You, as a person who knows God, who knows Christ, by your very nature, having God inside of you, you expose people. Not by how you mean it. You don't have to go up to them and say, you're a sinner and you should repent. All you have to do is just be like God. Be like Christ. Do the right thing. Make a good choice. And they don't like it. They don't like it. Because it kind of shows them up. It reveals who they really are. If everybody else is swimming this way and says, we're all just going to do this, and there's the little guy going the other way, and you're that little guy, they're like, who is that guy? He makes us look bad. We don't like him. All right? And that's what this situation puts us in. All right? But the good thing is this. Now, he doesn't put you there and just expose it and make you live in hatred and that's it. Wow, good luck to you, right? Jesus had a plan from the very beginning. Here's his plan, verse 26 and 27. Wherever we left off, please.
But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me.
And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning.
Alright, so what he is doing, how God deals with this, is he says, I'm going to come, because you are now swimming alone on your own, I'm going to come and I'm going to live right inside of you, and I'm going to be your helper. Anybody have another word in their version?
Comforter.
A comforter. You got another word in your version? Or you...
An advocate.
What's an advocate?
It's like you stand up for someone.
One who represents you, one who fights for you. So you have someone who comforts you, who helps you, who fights for you, is an advocate for you, okay? And that is God inside of you. God's doing that inside of you. And that's what gives you a different advantage. You may be the little fish swimming the wrong way, according to everybody else. But inside of you is the biggest God that exists anywhere. All right? You've got the strength, you've got the determination, and God gives you the power. And when you feel beat up by the people that hate you around you, you can learn from God and say, God, you just don't know what it feels like to be beat up and hated by people. Yes, I do. And here's how I'm going to comfort you. One thing that God showed me about that those people that hated me so much in my past is that I had to pray for them because I didn't love like I should have loved. Right? I didn't love like I was supposed to love. God had to show me how to be more like Him and pray for those people. And I did. And do you know all of the things that they did to try and take me down? None of them stuck. None of them. Because I was able to just stick to the path. Go to God. It actually got me closer to God than most other things did. Because I had to. I had to. I felt alone and like no one else could help me. Because no one else would know what I was going through. But every time I'd say, this is really hard. And the Spirit would remind me, I understand. It's very hard. But here's how you deal with it. You love this person. You pray for this person. Just start out. You're not going to feel it at first. But start out just like Jason says. You don't feel like, hey, I should love these people. This would be great. Let me pray for them. But you go through that obedience, step of obedience, by starting to pray for them. Okay? And then this brings something in to your life. Something different. If we go to Luke. Chapter number 6. Luke chapter 6. Verse number 27, 28, and 29. I'm going to pick up wherever we left off. Again, please. I think that's you. 27.
But I say unto you, which you have loved your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you.
And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy cloak also.
All right. So here is the rules that Christ gives us. You have an enemy. You have somebody who hates you, who abuses you, who uses you. Love them. Pray for them. Don't hate back, because that's not what God does. when we hated God at our very most, when we hated God and said, I don't want anything to do, before we know God, we just despise who He is until He shows us His love. You never know the people that hate you, what you could influence them in your life, and it might take a long time. But you could influence and change someone's life. It could be you and your ability to love someone else that changes their destiny, brings them to God. Eternity. All right? Could be you that does that. And you might be the one that's put in that place, in that position. You might be the only one that has the ability. When someone hated you, used you, abused you, said nasty things to you, did nasty things to you, what do you do back? Christ says love. And I don't say this like this is easy, but I say this is what Christ will give you, the Holy Spirit will give you specifically the strength to do. Okay? It's a hard thing. It's hard to be that new creature. Because it's against that old nature. It's against what your body knows. Because what do you want to do when somebody hates you and abuses you? You want to run away or you want to fight back? That's what you want to do. Angry at them. Because they did wrong to you. But Christ says don't turn back in anger. If they take something from you, give them something else. Kindly. It's not natural, but it is what God calls to do. Alright? It's how we change who we are. It's how we affect the world. You guys are going to be in that tough time in your life. A tough generation. You're going to have hard battles, some of you. Some of you may have very, very difficult battles. But know this, whatever that battle is, God will equip you with enough to do it. He's right inside of you. He can equip you with enough to get through it. All right? So another thing that's hard, the people that hate you, turn around and love them. Turn around and care for them. Turn around and pray for them. All right? Don't hate back. And then they got you, right? Then they've got power over you. Let God work through you and do good things. Okay? Thank you very much.